You're listening to the media ministry of Calvary Christian Fellowship with Pastor Allen. Grab your Bible for our verse-by-verse study of God's Word.
Oh, Father, we thank you again for a beautiful day. Thank you for life. Thank you for the opportunity to come in your house with brothers and sisters here, Lord, to serve you, to worship you, to bring glory to you. Lord, I just pray that as we look into your word, and as we even consider, Lord, this new school year with the kids going back to school, we pray for the kids and we pray for our children, Lord, that you will help us to pour into them and raise them up, Lord. And even as we study your word this morning on this topic of children, Father, I pray that you will bless our hearts, Lord, and speak to our hearts so that we may do what you have called us to do, Lord, and that's raise godly children. And when we look at our own strength and our own wisdom, Lord, we don't have what it takes, but we know that your word can equip us. So, Lord, bless this time. Bless your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It was said that, well, it used to take a village to raise a child. And I said it used to take a village because why? Well, today that not necessarily is true. You see, once upon a time, well, you had mom and dad, but you also had grandma and grandpa and aunts and uncle all in one place. And everyone took the time to pour into, to look after that child, to look after those children. But today, well, we see something different. When you are a parent, well, you kind of, a lot of times, are on your own. You have to, well, try to love and discipline your kids. And, well, children, well, they used to respect their parents. They used to respect those that are the adults that surround them. And for some reason, we see today that, well, our rights as parents are being stripped away. I spoke to a parent a couple weeks ago, and she said, well, she was going to discipline her child, and now her child looks at her and says, if you touch me, I'll call the police. You see, something has changed. I remember a couple weeks ago, again, being in Target. Now we have a child from the back of Target screaming her head off. And I'm sure she probably wanted something, and mom and dad said no. And now they're embarrassed walking out of the store, and everyone is looking on. We used to have, well, it was parents, but we also had, remember those days, those of you that are older? Well, your neighbors. If you disobeyed, it could be something you have done outside of the house, and your neighbors saw you. Guess what? They're going to get their hands on you. They will discipline you, and they will not only discipline you, but walk you home to mom and dad and say, here's what Johnny has done, and you're going to get it again from mom. And after you, mom is finished, they'll dad have to come home later in the afternoon. So you're going to get three. So guess what? As a kid, when you're in the house or outside of the house, you knew better. You knew you have to be on your best behavior. But now today, as I walk down my neighborhoods and I see kids doing things that are not in place, you know, I'm a little leery about even saying anything. Because why? If I dare tell that child what you're doing is wrong, guess what? Mom will come knocking on my door. Who are you and how dare you? You see, things have changed. Not only your parents, not only the neighbors, but, well, when you go to school. And if you went to school back in the days when, again, discipline was enforced, you misbehave, and now the teacher have the rights to, and again, that have changed. Last week, I was speaking to a teacher, and she said, do you know what's going on in the schools today? She said, when I'm walking down the aisle, and here I am looking at these couple, and they're so tight, so close, they're doing what? And now she's saying, kids, this is not the place. Stop it. And they're looking at her like, are you crazy, lady? Not only that, what she said as she went into a classroom now, and she sees two boys making out. And now she is disturbed, and she's saying, what is going on? And now as she's trying to write a report and bring it to the attention of the other faculties, they're all looking at her like, what is your problem? See, things have changed. Even when you look at how kids respond to those that are in our authority, to police officers. Back in the days when I saw a police officer, I didn't say a word. But now you see kids, they're talking back and they're yelling at police officers. What has happened to our society? Listen, understand this. When we lose our children, we lose our society. When we no longer have control over them, listen, they're the next generation. And if they're behaving like this now, what's going to happen in the future? And so you see, this subject is an important subject because why? Again, God, He desires godly offsprings. He puts children in our lives so that we can pour into them and raise them up. So how did this all happen? How did we get to a place where not too long ago, children were more obedient until now where it's chaos? How did that all happen? Well, I will submit to you, something happened back in 1963. Some of you may have remembered that, God was kicked out of school. No longer was the Bible accepted. No longer was the Ten Commandments accepted in school. And I have some statistics just to show you how devastating that was. If you understand, when you honor God, God will honor you. But if you turn your backs on God, you have done so and you will suffer your own consequences. And so here are some things that I've looked at. And after God was kicked out of school, children's SAT scores, they dropped from 980 to 890 in 20 years. Straight down. The STDs from 11-year-olds went from 400,000 to 1 million. The percentage to unwed girls between the age of 15 and 19 went from 100,000 to 700,000 in 16 years. Premarital sex increased 46% in 23 years between the age of 15 and 18. Single parents from 4.6 million to 11 million in 27 years. Unmarried couples living together, 400,000 to 2.8 million in 27 years. Violent crime from 250,000 to 1.7 million. You see, I'm saying these stats, I wish I had put it on a PowerPoint just to show you the graphs of how everything just increased from that 1963 point. Everything went through the roof. You see, when our nation turned their backs on God, all hell broke loose. Understand, Proverbs 14:23, it says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Again, God is desiring that we raise godly children, but if we set God aside, then what we have is children that are disobedient, that are living for sin. Now today we are so busy, it's hard for us to even take time for our children. What I want us to do is just look at how are we to do parenting and how to do it well. How are we to raise godly children? Well, understand this. You can't start with them. It starts with you, parents. It starts with you. We took the time last week and week before to look at the role of husbands, the role of wives, and to understand how each of us have our part in a marriage relationship. And you, parent, you have to understand, when you examine yourself and you become that model for your children, now your children can say, I know what mom and dad did, I know how they live, and this is how we do it in our house. But if you want to say something, parents, and live another way, listen, kids know what baloney smells like. They can spot a phony right off the top. You don't have to say, oh, look at that fraud. No, they look at you and they say, is mom and dad genuine? Are they living, are they walking the walk? You see, our children need to know, parents, they need to know how much you love God. You need to model that to them. Your children need to know how much, dads, that you love mom. Do you know that's more important for you, for your children to know that you love your mom than how much you love them? You see, for a long time people say, oh, your children need to know how much you love them. No, they need to know how much you love your mom, their moms. Same thing, wives, you need to model respect for their dad. That is very, very important. If you do not respect that, guess what? They won't respect authority, because the dad is supposed to be the authority in the house. I know that's old-fashioned, but guess what? It worked before 1963. They need to see, mom and dad, you respect your neighbors. It's easy to go in the house and say, do you see Mrs. Robinson next door? And now you're talking about your neighbor, and your kids are listening. You know, a real funny story, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he said he was driving down the street, and, well, he was on the highway, and some guy was driving crazy, and he said, look at that idiot! And from the back seat, the daughter said, what's wrong with the idiot, Dad? They are listening. They are seeing how you're responding, and if you are responding like that, if you're talking back, and if you're not respecting those that are around you, guess what? They won't respect them. They need to know, listen, how you respect authority. How are you driving? Are you breaking laws? Are they seeing you cutting corners and stealing here and there? Look, listen, those little compromises that you're making will amount to build bigger compromise. Whatever you do, parents, your children will try to outdo you. So if you're a good sinner, guess what? They will be a better sinner. But if you love God, is have a chance that they will love God. They will want to love God more than you loved God. And so again, it starts with us. We have to model those things in our lives so that we can then pass them on to them. So as we look now, Ephesians chapter 6, picking up in the first verse, it reads, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. I think if you're a Christian parent, I think we all have said this verse once. We don't know anything else in the Bible. We know where this one is. Obey me, child. You should obey me. It is right. What is this all about? Understand, well, we don't have the kids in here, so I'm speaking to you parents. Obey, children, obey your parents, for it is right. Obey your parents. Circle that word, obey, and put next to it, listen and submit to. You have to listen, but also submit to follow. If you know the story, Matthew 21, verse 8, Jesus gave a parable. He said, they have a man with two sons. He told one, the one son, go out in the vineyard and work for me. And the son said, no. But later on, he went and did it. But then the other son, he said, hey, can you go out in the vineyard and do some work? The son said, sure, Dad. He was kissing up to his dad, of course. But what happened? He didn't do it. Which one was obedient? Both of them heard the same thing. One said no, the other one said yes. But the one that did it was obedient. And what we want is as parents, Lord, is to raise obedient kids. We want to raise obedient kids. And so, something shocking I want to share with you. Between 64 And 94% of children of Christian teens leave the church within a few years of graduating from high school. Again, 64 to 94% of kids, that's our kids, when they leave church, when they graduate from school, that's the end of church. They don't come back. 94%. When this survey came out, a lot of churches started to believe, say, what are we doing wrong? Where are we going wrong? What can we adjust? Can I tell you, it's not the church? It's not the church. Yes, the church have a part to do with it, but it's not the church. You see, a lot of times parents want to drop their kids off to church and say, bye-bye. I hope you learn about God there. But guess what? It is not the church's job. Yes, we will help you. We will assist you. But it's the parents' job. It is your job to teach your kids. Understand this, another shocking study. The average American watch more than 4 hours of TV each day. Each day now. The number of minutes per week that a parent spends in meaningful conversation with their child is 3.5 minutes. 3.5 minutes. So who's raising our children? You see, understand this. Children, obey your parents. For your children to obey you, well, you have to be speaking to them. You have to be teaching them. But if they're not hearing you because while you're spending time watching TV, you're spending time running after entertainment, you're spending time doing everything else, then your kids are not hearing. They're not listening. They can't listen because they're not hearing you. We have to spend time with our children. One of my pastors once said that, well, home is home base for him. And he sees himself as, well, a big rubber band tied around him, and he will run out, whatever he have to do, work, ministry, but then that rubber band will eventually pull him back in. That's his home base. That's where he focuses his attention, in his family and his kids. Everything else is secondary, but here's what we have done. We have flipped it around. Well, work is more important, entertainment is more important, and kids, well, you're getting in my way. And we get frustrated with them because why? They're not the focus. And so, Proverbs 22, verse 6, I think we all know it. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Again, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Train a child in the way he should go. Where is your child going? Where should we point them to? Well, understand this. We should point them to the Lord. You see, if I raise up good children, but they're not godly children, I have failed. I have failed them. And so, we can, again, teach them how to be good. We can teach them how to go after career and be successful. But again, if we're not training them to go in the way of the Lord, we have failed them. Deuteronomy 6:4, understand this. It says, "Hear, O children, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts, parents." Love God with all of your hearts, with all your soul, with all your strength. And then listen to verse 7. It says, "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hearts and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." The writer of Deuteronomy is saying, hey, listen, let God be the center of your heart. Everywhere you go, make sure that you're using it as a teachable moment for your kids. Don't just depend on Sunday school and say, the Sunday school teacher, you will do the job. No, the Bible says that it's our job as parents to pour into our kids, to tell them about the Lord. When you give them that foundation, understand this, you won't be there in their life all the time. When the day that your child is born, understand your role is to raise them up, to send them out. You're sending them on deployment. You're sending them out. They're not going to stay at home. You have 18 years to do so. Some are taking longer, I see, to bake. But again, the most important direction we can point our kids is to the Lord. Because the day that they leave your house and you're no longer in there supervising them, they have to make right decision. And if the Holy Spirit now is around them and convicting them, now they will have the opportunity to make right decisions. So many parents, again, are teaching their kids. They're spending their time running after sports. I'm not saying it's bad, but they're consumed with sports. They're consumed with everything else. And when it comes time to just sitting down, having a meaningful conversation, talking to them about the Lord, that doesn't happen. Why? Because we're just too busy. So Paul says, again, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Notice he said, in the Lord. When I read this, it really convicted me. Because why? Well, I'm the pastor. I have kids, and of course, I'm taking care of my kids, and I'm teaching them how to be obedient and understand. I'm a serious person when it comes to obedience, and I will demand obedience. But is it in the Lord? Am I telling them why they need to be obedient? Not because of me, because of the Lord. And so, children, he says, obey your parents in the Lord. Notice he says, for this is right. In other words, this should make common sense. You're the parent, that's the child. It's right. It makes sense. It makes common sense, right? Again, not today. Things are changing. I noticed, well, kids, sometimes it really scares me just to see how they respond to their own parents. They have absolutely no respect, and it really baffles me. But here's the deal. Again, going back, I just want you to make the connection, because I want us to understand what has happened in the past to bring us to the point where we are today, and how we can make some adjustments so that we can do it right. In the 50s and the 60s, some of you again will know this, the shows Father Knows Best, My Three Sons, Leave It to Beaver, these shows, well, they were centered around the family. You had a husband, a wife, you had kids. In the case of Beaver, well, he always got in trouble. But at the end of the day, you will see something happen. They will be sitting around their dinner table, and they will be talking. They will be talking about the events of the day, and Dad had a word of wisdom. And he will pour into those kids. That was the 50s and the 60s. Now we go 10 years later to the 70s and the early 80s. Now we have the Brady Bunch. And now we have a mixed family, a blended family. And that is a result of the 1963 kick God out of the school. Now we have blended family that they're trying to understand. And now we have both now husband and wife. They're trying to figure things out together, and the same thing with, if you remember, the Cosby Show. You know, now the wife is out there, she is a breadwinner as well, and now they're both fighting, or they're both discussing how to deal with the kids. It's no longer dad in a position of authority. Go a little further, we have the 80s and the 90s. We have that great show, Married with Children. Now, no longer is dad being the authority. It's switched now where dad is the idiot. He is the fool, the drunkard that just sits around and watch television. And the same thing with The Simpsons. Go a little further. Now we have, well, at least they redeemed the male position, because why? Now we have shows where it have a couple, but they're two guys, and now they are adapted a child, and now they're trying to figure things out, and now they're making the guy look good now. He's the smart one now. Because why? They have changed. They have switched everything around. But if you turn on the television, you watch Disney or Nickelodeon or any of these kids' movies, you will see what they continue to do. Now, it's not the parents that are in charge, but they say the kids are the one that's making the wise decisions. The parents will say, oh, you shouldn't do that, and the kids will be disobedient. They'll do it anyway, and they'll come out with a good result. And they say, see, the kids knew right all along. I don't know how many of you heard of it, but on the inauguration day of Obama, Al Gore invited 3,000 kids to give them a speech, a little lecture. And in this lecture, he's telling them that you kids know better than your parents. You see, something have changed, people. Understand when the model, when the authority, when what God has established has been turned around, we lose control of everything. These kids, again, will be leading us one day. Just like the hippies are leading us today. And we wonder what's going on in our country. Listen, as parents, you are to set boundaries. God has established boundaries in His Word, and we are to learn them and establish them in our family. Listen to Proverbs 22, verse 28. It says, do not move an ancient boundary stone set up by your forefathers. Your children might not like them, and they will fight against when you establish boundaries, but do not allow them to move these stones. The day that you compromise, understand, and I see it in my own little children, my daughter, she will come to me and say, Dad, can I do so? And I will say, no, you're not going to do it. And guess what she does? She heads to Mom. Mom, Dad said that Dad said that I can do this. Oh, really? Alan, did you say it? No. But she is pushing the boundaries. She's pushing the limits. Understand, if you don't know this by now, your kids are born sinners. The first word out of their mouth is mine. But we are to establish boundaries. You have Dad on one end, you have Mom on one end, and they're going to bounce off of you as walls. And they may get hurt, they may get bruised, but you do not move those boundaries, because understand, when they get older, when no one's looking, they're going to push the boundaries, and they will get hurt. And it will be worse than when you, Mom and Dad, say no. No is a good word. Don't give in. And so he goes on now. Verse 2, he said, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. That is why that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now Paul gives us the why to the what. Sometimes we give short answers. You are to do this. Obey me. But here he gives why. Again, parents, we have to explain why so that our kids can understand why we're saying what we're saying. Short answers won't get it. We have to teach them. And so, again, he says, obey, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you. Understand this information, if you want to take note, information is the what. Without explanation leads to frustration. If you just tell your child, don't touch that hot stove. Don't touch the stove, it's hot. For a little child, they don't get it. But here's what I did with my kids. It's hot, come here. I grab them, I open the oven, and I let them feel the heat come out. And I tell them, it's hot. Now I'm explaining to them, I'm teaching them. You see, when we tell kids, hey, that boy that you're hanging out with, well, he's no good for you. For a girl, if you're telling your teenage daughter that, guess what? What you mean he's no good? He likes me. He looks good. And it's hard for them to understand because why? Their heart is pity-pattering. Ooh, it makes me feel good. But you see, we have to sit with our kids and not just shout at them and just tell them, no, don't do it. Now you have to sit down and explain to them. Again, another pastor of mine, he said when his teenage daughter, he had a good relationship with him, but after a while he noticed that she just shut the door on him. Not communicating anymore. That's the dark ages. So what he will do is go in her bedroom at night. As she lays on her bed, he would go lay down next to her and just watch her in her face. And she would feel uncomfortable. And guess what? Then they will start talking. And now he can start seeing what's going on in her life, in her world. And now communication can happen. Again, we have to not just inform, but we have to explain. We have to talk. We have to communicate. At the same time, information with explanation leads to inspiration. You give a child explanation, now they have inspiration, they have understanding, and now they can make right decisions. So honor your father and mother, that's the information. Again, why? Explanation, that you may enjoy long life. Paul is not saying that because you honor your mother and your father that you're going to be promised 100 years. No, you can live 15 years, but you will live a full life. Again, just like in America, we enjoyed such prosperity. We enjoyed family life. But when they dishonored God and kicked him out, now we see the consequences. It's the same thing when you honor your parents, God blesses you and your life. And you live it now to the full. You have joy. You have peace. Understand, when I was growing up, there were a number of kids that I grew up with that are either in prison or living some kind of crazy life or dead. And those are the ones that, well, when I hang out with them, there are certain things that they did. And because I knew what my mom and dad stood for, I stayed away from those certain things. And they went down that road. I went a different road, and I can see, like night and day, the difference between honoring your parents. When you honor your parents, your days will be blessed. Teach your kids that. Teach them there's consequences to their behaviors. Now, Proverbs 6, verse 20. Proverbs 6, 20. Turn there. I want you to hear this. It says, my son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your hearts forever. Fasten them around your neck. This is the what. But now he gives the why in verse 22. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you are awake, they will speak to you. For these commandments are a lamp. This teaching is a light. And the corrections of discipline are the ways of life. How many of us, listen, how many of us wished we had obeyed our father's commandments? How many of us wish we had not forsaken our mother's teaching? How many of us have regrets today because we say, if I had only listened to mom, if I had only listened to dad? You see, we have regrets because why? Well, they was giving us wisdom based on experience, on what they went through in life, and they're trying to spare us from these things. But again, we want to go our own way. We want to do our own thing. And so we rebel. But understand again, we are to teach them. Don't get frustrated. There's a way that we just want to just say, you know what? It's not worth it. They're not listening. They're knuckleheads. We want to kick them out. No, we are to stay the course. We are to continue to teach. We are to continue to explain to them why, the why to the what. And so it is important, again, parents, to model in your own life. It's important to command, to teach. It have a fourth thing. Again, the relationship. You can model it, you can command it, you can teach it, but understand we have to maintain relationships with our children. Jesus, he did that. He walked with his disciples and he maintained a relationship. Notice when Jesus, if you look through the scriptures, you notice that he stood up and he preached, he commanded, but then there were times when he sat down with his disciples and now he explained to them fully. He taught them, he sat down, and that's what we are to do. And so when you look at verse 4, it says, "Fathers, do not exasperate or provoke your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instructions of the Lord." Notice Paul turns the attention here to fathers. He didn't say fathers and mothers. He said, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children." You see, for some reasons, guys think that, it's mom's responsibility to raise the children. You raise them, you're doing a good job, honey. I'll go play some golf. No, Paul said it is your responsibility, dads. You are responsible for your home. You're responsible for your children. And it is important, again, for dads to build relationships with their kids. Now, Paul said, do not exasperate. In other words, do not rouse to wrath or provoke or anger. How do dads do that? Well, here's the deal. I saw a couple weeks ago, as I go in the park, I'm enjoying time with my kids. Now here comes this dad with his son, and now he's out there pushing him, run, do this, and he's getting him to practice for football season. He's pushing him. You see, oftentimes what we can do as parents is, our dreams, our life's dreams, I wanted to be a football star, but I didn't make it, and so now we're trying to conform our children into our image, trying to make them do what we want them to do. Understand, every child is different, and every child have to have a unique gifting in them. And when we try to force them to do something and say, why you're not like your brother? Why you're not like this person? Or when I was in school, I used to be good in math. Why are you? And now you're frustrating them. Listen to this, Jeremiah 1:5. It says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Again, God has created each and every one of us unique. We are beautiful in His sight, and He has giftings in us. And He has a plan, a purpose for our lives. But here's what we try to do. We don't realize that we look at our kids and we have this dream of who they are going to be when they grow up. We have a definition of what we think success looks like. And so now we're driving our children and they don't want to do it. They don't want to go that way because why? It's not how God made them. I notice in the schools today, they have, Ritalin is the teacher. And they're pumping these kids up with this drug because they're saying, they're ADD and ADHD and whatever other words they're using. And you see what they're doing, they're saying, all of the kids need to follow in this path so we can get this result. Understand, every kid is different. Some kids, they learn good in groups. Some kids, they want to be by themselves. Some kids, you see, every one of them is made different. But now they're not falling in place, and so now they're trying like a factory to produce X amount of kids doing this, learning this amount of information. Again, every kid is different. Now, John Corson, if you know Pastor John, he wrote this, and I thought this was just so great. There's no explanation needed. It says, "Wise is the man who understands that his children are not to be molded, but to be unfolded. In other words, dad, you have a privilege of observing your child and seeing how God has made him and unfold what God has built into him for his glory. You see, it's not molding. It's not saying, Johnny, you need to be this person. But now as you sit down again, the relationship is so important, because as you spend time with your children and you're seeing their gift, and sometimes kids, they may look, running around and they have a lot of energy, but it's not that they're bad. You need to take that energy and focus it now on what you see the gifting in them, and now you can point them in the direction that they need to go. One of a really good Proverbs, a psalm that really speaks to this is Psalm 127, verse 3. Listen, sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born on one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Now, what does arrows have to do with children? Understand, just like a mighty warrior, the psalmist writes here, who have these arrows in his pouch in his back, and now as he take out an arrow and now he pulls it back and he points it into the direction that it may go, so is a dad who sees in his kids the giftings, the abilities, and now he's saying, son, look in this direction. This is what I see in your life. And now you're encouraging that child and you're pointing them in direction so they can do a great work in the Lord. And so again, not molding, but unfolding. I've seen this work out in Gigi's, my wife's aunt's family. Every single day, they will sit down at the dinner table and they will talk as a family. But not only that they will talk, but they will every day open up the Proverbs, as they say, a proverb a day will keep the devil away. And they read a proverb each day, one proverb, 31 chapters, so one for each day of the week, of the month. And as they read these proverbs, they're teaching their kids. And by the way, if you just open up Proverbs chapter 1, it will tell you all about what the proverbs will do for you and your children. This is a great way, dads, to just, yeah, you may not know what to say, but just read God's word and it will put into words what your children need to hear. And here's why I just love this family, Gigi's aunt, as they model this for me and for Gigi. When we look on, we marveled, because here's why. Now, another time as they came and visit, they lived out in Texas, they came here to Florida, and now her son, which was about 14 years at the time, is with his cousin, with two other cousins, and now his two cousins are saying, hey, let's go out to the movies. Hey, we're going to have two girls with us. He said, really? I'll pass. Now, 14-year-old boy saying, I will pass? Wow, that spoke to me. Not only that, now he has, I think, well, he was 16, he has a girlfriend, and the girlfriend says, hey, we need to go a little deeper. Really? What do you mean by that? So as she explained, he said to her, well, you see, I'm saving myself for marriage, and so this relationship is over. Wow. I remember driving down the street with him and his cousins as they were listening to certain music, and he's listening to the lyrics, and he says, do you guys realize what they're saying in the song? And now he's talking to them, and I'm blown away. You see, parenting, it may be difficult at sometimes, because your kids may fight against what you're teaching them. But understand, when you just stay steadfast, when you're teaching them, when you're putting up boundaries, and now you're pointing them to the Lord, and now you're teaching them the Word of God, understand, it will stick. Train up a child in the way that he should go. When he grow old, he will not depart from it. It will be branded on his mind and in his heart. And I know for some parents it's like, oh, well, I'm just becoming a Christian, and so my children are already set in their ways. No, it is never too late to start. It is never too late. Why? Because most kids, they make up their decision to follow Christ by the time they reach 18. And after that, well, they go out into the world. And now you have to try even harder to pull them back. Pour into your kids. Grandparents, if you have grandchildren, pour into them. There's no such thing as retirement. Invest into the next generation. I will leave with these last words of encouragement. Parents, keep your priorities straight. In Colossians, it gives us the model of our priorities. It should be, number one, God. Number two, your spouse. Number three, your children. Number four, your work. And number five, your ministry. It's not the opposite the other way around. It's not God and your work and then your children or your wife. Oh, well, some people have their children and then their wife and everything else. No, it's God's first, your spouse. Make sure you're pouring into your spouse, but then also your children. And what I find, and I will be transparent, sometimes I'm frustrated with my kids because why? When I go to bed at night, well, when I'm putting them to bed, sometimes I just want to say a quick prayer. Bless you, kids. Bye-bye, I'm tired and I want to go to bed. And you see, because I have other priorities that creeps up in my mind, and I have to do all these other things. And so I can look at them as if they're getting in my way, but understand, no, they're my first ministry. Before this ministry, they need to be my ministry. And we can do that with our work, where kids, you can't come by me now. I have to do work. I have to, and we keep pushing our kids off. And they will get frustrated. Listen, keep our priorities straight. Secondly, cut out the amount of TV and game and iPod and all of these things that they're doing. Cut it out. It's not necessary. Do you know that all this stuff is connected to that ADD stuff that they're talking about? The kids are overstimulated, and so now when you come to sit down with them and talk about the Bible, guess what? It is boring. I don't want to hear it. Cut it out. Stop letting the TV and the iPods and the video games be the nanny and the babysitter for your kids. I can't even put in a rated G movie without first screening it because of the things that they're putting in them. I made the mistake and did that sometime last month. I needed to get stuff done, so I rented a G-rated movie, put my kids in front of it, and as my wife watches it now, I'm thinking, oh my, can't even do that. Be careful. Protect your kids for what they're watching. Listen, have family time. Have family time. I know this is kind of old-fashioned again, but old-fashioned works. I don't care what anyone says today. Old-fashioned works. Get around your dinner table. Eat with your kids. I love how my daughter will, sometimes we will skip family time, you know, dinner time, and we'll, you know, do our own little, you know, eating here and there. But my daughter will say, no, it's family time. Let's eat together. And so we eat together. And not only that, but you, when they're going down to bed at night, if you should pray with them, and you should read the word, the scriptures to them, and lay your hands on them and bless them and pray for them. Let that be a habit in your house. You're passing on, listen, mom and dad, a legacy to your kids, because when they grow old and they have kids, guess how they're going to model their house after how you modeled your house. Then also, keep up with what's going on in your kids' life. Don't live separate lives in a house and everybody's doing their own thing. No, keep up with them. Like that pastor who just goes and sit down on his children's bed and just talk with them and just fellowship with them. What's going on in your life? Keep that open communication going. And lastly, let your house be a safe house. Here's something that my wife's aunt, that's something that she does as well. When all of the kids are out, especially during the summertime, her house is the house that all of the kids come to. Why? Because when they go to the other houses, she don't know what's going on there. But as they come to her house, now she can watch and monitor and even share scriptures or whatever the Lord puts on her heart. And now it's a ministry. Again, don't just send your kids off and say, get out of my hair. And yes, they come and they will trash your house. But guess what? So what? It's all going to burn one day. The Lord is going to return. And so, listen, pour into your children, for they are our next generation. Amen? And so, Father, as you have poured into us, as you have taken the time to sacrifice your life so that we can establish a relationship with you. And you didn't stop there, Lord. You are continuing as you have sent your Holy Spirit, the Helper, to invest into us, to teach us, to guide us. I pray that as you have modeled that for us, Lord, that we will also model it in our family, in our children. So, Father, as your word speaks to our hearts, Lord, let us see that it will never be too late, that today we can start and you will still do a great work. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
It is my hope and prayer that you have been blessed by this study. If you have and would like to listen to more Bible studies, you can do so by visiting us online to download free MP3s or to subscribe to our podcast at ccfjax.org. You may also give us a call to request a copy on CD at 904-628-1-GOD. That's 904-628-1463.